All right, yeah, we can return to Philippians chapter 1. Epistle of Paul to the Philippians and chapter 1, first. Okay. He was sitting wrong on the thing down there. I can hear you already. He wasn't in the pulpit 30 seconds and he come out of it. We'll turn to Philippians chapter 1, and if you have something to mark with, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read several verses over there shortly. That's 2 Corinthians 4. I'm thankful the Lord counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. I'm thankful that when he saved me, he gave me something to do. When he saves us, he does give us something to do. He doesn't save us to continue doing what we were before, but he changes us to walk in the newness of life and to get busy working for him. The Great Commission comes to mind, and we'll get on that here in a second. If we're in the first chapter of Philippians, we'll just read verse 17. We'll read verses 15, we'll read from 15 to 17, Philippians 1. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I am set for the defense of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, by your righteousness, the only reason you'll be able to hear us, God. I pray that you would speak tonight and not me. You'd be glorified, not me, that people would follow you. Your name be lifted up. We love you in Jesus' name. I am set for the defense of the gospel. We're going to talk a little bit about being set for the gospel as Paul was. We know the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And set, if we look at that word set, it gives a connotation of being decided, being founded. A funny picture you can draw is concrete. If something is stuck in concrete and it sets, the word set, it's not moving hardly. I think of rebar. You know, rebar is a rod of iron. You think of rebar being stuck in the concrete. It's set. It's not going to move. But I don't really think of the rebar that's sticking up where you can see it. I'm thinking of that piece that's like that far out of the concrete that meets your toe about every time you pass it. That one. And it's not moving. It's set. As set in concrete. Paul is a great example of what a Christian should be, set. First thing we'll see is be set for the defense of the gospel. In verse 17 we just read, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. We need to defend the gospel because today it's being attacked. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read in the Bible is being attacked today. We need to stand up for the defense of the gospel. It's not going to be done sitting down. The gospel is being attacked, so they seek to silence it. They seek for it not to be spread anymore. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Some will try to destroy it by persecuting Christians, by killing Christians. We know that's happening overseas, and one day it might come here if we continue to be faithful, to be true. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Yeah, live godly. That's the key there. Contemporary church won't be persecuted. Those that aren't seeking him won't be persecuted. Those that have fallen away from their first love, those won't be persecuted. It's those that are full blast going for the Lord. Those are the ones that are persecuted. And if you study, when anytime the church is persecuted, the word scatters even more. And the harvest is even greater when persecution comes to the church. Some will seek to destroy it by persecution of the church. It's being attacked. If they can't attack it and destroy it, they're trying to change it. They're trying to change points of it. They try to remove the blood. In Hebrews 9, if you want to learn about what the blood of Jesus means, the blood even of the rams and the goats in the Old Testament, the significance of the blood, you need to read Hebrews 9. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 9. You don't have to turn to 9:22, but the word blood is mentioned 11 times in this one chapter, and you'll learn a lot if you read Hebrews 9. You might even call it the blood chapter. But in verse 22 of Hebrews 9, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That word remission carries the meaning of forgiveness, healing of sorts. There's none of that without the blood. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sins. You won't find it in the blood of rams and goats. It's right up here. I want to read that. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption, remission, it only comes by the blood of Jesus. And they're trying to take that away. They say we got a bloody religion. I'm proud of my bloody religion because that's how I saved. You won't be saved any other way. There is no forgiveness without it. That's in Hebrews 9. And you'll do good to study on the blood in Hebrews 9. They're trying to take the blood out of the gospel. They're trying to say that there are many ways to heaven. I remember when we Jesus is the one way, by the way. When we were in school over here, we had to memorize some verses in Spanish. And I still remember Juan 14:6, Jesús dijo, yo soy el camino y la verdad y la vida. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nadie viene al Padre sino por mí. No one goes to the Father but by me. That's Jesus saying that. No one goes to the Father but by him, by his blood. He's the only way. There are not many names to God. Well, there are many names, many facets of the one God. There are not several gods you reach heaven by. There's only one Savior. There's but one name given among men whereby you must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name we just sung about. What a wonderful name. Line of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. They try to say there's many ways. Juan 14:6, in our English King James Bible, it says, I am the way. In the Spanish version, it says, camino, which it means way, but it also carries the meaning of road. There's only one road. Now, it's not like I can leave here, and it's not like going to Walmart from here. You know, I can turn out on 41 and Clarence King this way, and I can make several turns on my way to Walmart. You know, but there's only one way to heaven. A lot of times, me and Brother Kevin, we work heating and air up Jasper up in the mountains and stuff, and it takes us forever to find the one road to a house, and sometimes we don't think we're going to get back out. There's only one way in there. It's complicated sometimes. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They try to say there are many ways to heaven. They say that Jesus wasn't even God. Even if someone might agree that Jesus is the only way to heaven, they say that he's not God. They say that he was only man, corruptible man. He was incorruptible. He never saw corruption. We're in the Old Testament. Again, in the New Testament, he filled that prophecy. He never saw corruption. Corruption in the grave was believed to happen on the fourth day. Jesus was in the grave 3 nights or 3 days. He never saw corruption. He filled that prophecy. Jesus was God. He says in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Just before that, he says that, you're in my hand. You're in my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We read, we know that Jesus was God. And there's countless verses to prove that. They can't. If we're going to be set for the defense of the gospel, we're going to have to be established in these truths. We're going to have to know these. We're going to have to be able to answer any man according to these. You're not always going to be able to answer every question when people dispute you. But you need to know the foundation. Jesus was God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You need to know that. You need to know the scriptures for that. If you're going to defend the gospel, you need to know these scriptures. You need to know these principles. You need to know your Lord. One message that I was studying, the Lord changed my mind. In Philippians in chapter 3, it says, Paul talks about denying himself, counting all things loss for the excellency of Christ, that I may know him. And that was one thing that I studied. That I may know him. We just need to know him. There won't be anything to be accomplished without knowing him. They say that Jesus wasn't God. They also say that, some of them say that he didn't really die. He was just weakened a lot. And they took him down from the cross, and something about the humidity and the water droplets on his forehead healed him. You know, we read in the Bible that Jesus died. And that he rose again. In Matthew 28, Jesus just rose from the dead, and they're telling the soldiers that were on guard, they're telling them to lie, and they're bribing them. Say that the disciples took him in the night, that you fell asleep. Say the disciples took him in the night. You know, don't admit that he rose again. Don't admit that an angel rolled back the stone. Well, he did rise again. And, That statement is repeated until today in Matthew 28 and verse 15. The guards. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It's reported amongst heretics today. Not just Jews, but they're all saying that Jesus didn't die. He did die. He did rise again. He is coming again. And he calls us to walk in the newness of life. Being resurrected. We need to be set for the defense of the gospel. We just read about that. We also need to be set for the furtherance of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, you'll see in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. And now in verse 12, skip down a little bit, but I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. We need to be set for the furtherance of the gospel. If Paul wasn't set for the furtherance of the gospel, the first bit of persecution, and he would have hightailed it out of there. He would have given up if he wasn't set. If we're not set, when we meet opposition, we're going to give up then. We need to be set. If we're going to spread the gospel, if it's going to be brought further than where it is right now, if we're going to bring it further, if we're going to be set for the furtherance of the gospel, we need to be decided, set, as that rebar in the concrete. We don't need to be moved. And we can stand on the principles of God's word because it doesn't change. The grass withered, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Unchanged.
Amen.
The furtherance of the gospel. John chapter 3 and verse 14 says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must be lifted up. It's a command. We must lift the Son of Man up. If you read back where Moses did, where it's talking about, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Israelites were murmuring against God. They were ungrateful. And so God sent poisonous serpents to them, where if they were to be bit, they would die. But some of them prayed, and Moses prayed, and he told Moses to make a brazen serpent after the fashion of those poisonous serpents, and to place it on a stick and lift it up.
Yeah.
And those that looked on it,
yeah,
that were bit, they wouldn't die.
That's right.
We've been bit by sin.
That's
by one man, sin came into the world.
Yeah.
So we're all sinners.
Yeah.
We've been bit by that serpent, and we're going to die if we don't look on him and believe.
Yeah.
Someone lifted Jesus up for me to see. That's the only reason I'm saved.
That's
the only reason you're saved is because someone lifted Jesus up so you could see him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He must be lifted up again and again and again and more and more. He must be lifted up, John 3:14, for the furtherance of the gospel. It's a command, not a suggestion. We need to spread the gospel, lift him up, share the gospel more, because it's being hid. Now, concerning the defense of the gospel, people are trying to destroy the gospel, but that's not us. That's the enemies of God. We're the ones that's hiding the gospel. That's not them. They're trying to destroy it by killing Christians and persecuting Christians and destroying his word, but we're the ones that's hiding the gospel. And if it be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The Bible says in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. Jesus earlier said that he was the light of the world. Then he announced that he was leaving. He said that we're the salt. We're the light.
Yeah.
We're the ones that's to spread the gospel. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. We need to be that city set on a hill.
Yeah.
Neither will man light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but lift it up. As the serpent, Moses lifted up the serpent, they can look under the light. We are the light of the world. That's our duty. And if it's hid, it's hid by us. We can't blame anybody for that. If the light's hid in my life, and if no one sees that I'm a Christian, it's because I'm hiding it. It's because we're ashamed of the gospel. If I'm not making a positive influence, if fruit's not coming forth, if the gospel's not going forth, it's because I'm hiding it in my life. And the same for your life. It's a command that we share it. We lift it up high so that others can see. God forbid that we hide it from the lost. We'll talk about eternity here in just a second. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where I had you marked a second ago. In Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We've received mercy. We've been saved. We ought not to quit. We ought to share it. We faint not. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That word manifestation, it means showing forth. If the gospel, the light of the gospel is going to be shown forth in your life, it's manifest. It's made manifest. The manifestation of truth. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You notice it repeats itself right there in verse 10 and verse 11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now, we know that everybody isn't made a martyr. That's not what it's saying here. It's saying for Jesus' life to be made manifest, for Jesus' life to be shared, for the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, as it says, to be shared, we have to die to self. The Bible says to take up our cross. Denying ourselves. Paul had to beat back his flesh. Over in Philippians 3, where Paul says, that I may know him. We know that verse. We've heard that a lot. And we know that it is a verse. We know that we ought to know him. But the verse before that talks about Paul denying himself. He was the chief of sinners. He had several qualifications. I'm just going to turn over there. In chapter 3, in verse... He's talking about not having confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul was the chief of sinners, remember. He had higher qualifications, more reason to trust in himself than anybody else there. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. These are the qualifications that Paul had. But what things were gained for me, to those I counted lost for Christ. Amen. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All things. And it talks about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. It talks about that I may know him. Those things will happen. You'll deny yourself. You'll count all things for loss except for Christ before you'll know him, before you'll really know him. I didn't say before you get saved. Paul was already saved when he said this. You're going to deny yourself before you know the Lord's heart, before you know his desires, before you please him. All that look on the glorious light of the gospel and believe, all that look on the glorious light of the gospel and believe, are saved. We ought to be lifting it up high, not holding it down low. Somebody's eternity is hinged on your temporal, your comfort, your convenience. Someone's eternity is hinged on that. If you choose your comfort when the Lord tells you to speak to somebody, when the Lord convicts you to share a gospel tract, talk to the life about Christ, the life of Christ with somebody, their eternity could be changed. You turn away from that, you got a little bit of comfort. But that could have been the moment their eternity was changed. Their blood will be on your hands, the Bible says. In other words, sober us. It's impossible for us to understand eternity because our minds, they have an end. God has no end. He's infinite. Our minds are finite. They're small. They have an end. It's impossible for us to completely understand eternity. But we can get close if we by looking at some illustrations. There's plenty of good illustrations that help us understand eternity, the length of eternity. But one that I heard, I don't remember who told me, and I couldn't find it online, so I could get it the way it was told to me. But if you imagine eternity, imagine a sparrow, a small bird, flies around the earth. God gives this sparrow a command to destroy the earth. He's already made the new heaven, new earth. He lets the sparrow destroy the old earth. He flies around, starting with the highest mountain, and he comes over it. He brushes it with his wing, the feathers of his wings. And a little bit is destroyed right there. He goes around again, brushes it again, and again, and again, and again. You can imagine how long this would take to destroy this mountain. And now this mountain has reached flat. However million years it would have taken to do that. He has to move on to the next mountain. That sparrow goes around the earth again, all the way around the earth. And just the brush of its feather destroys the earth. Once the earth is completely gone, if you have this illustration, if your eternity hasn't begun yet. And yet we hide the gospel. I'm so glad that my eternity was changed because someone preached the gospel to me. In that we just read, the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. You might suffer. You have to deny yourself. It'll take sacrifice for you to be set for the furtherance of the gospel. We also need to be set. We need to be set for the defense of the gospel. We need to stand up for it. People are trying to attack it. People are trying to destroy the gospel. We need to stand up and defend it. We need to be set for the furtherance of the gospel, to spread it, not just defend it, not just to build a fortress around it, but to spread it, to be a city set on a hill. Lift your candle up high. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even though so, this Son of Man must be lifted up. We'll be set for the furtherance of the gospel. We also need to be set for the confirmation of the gospel. In verse 7, Philippians 1, verse 7, a little bit through that. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Confirmation of the gospel. Ye are all partakers of my grace. What is confirmation? Confirmation is an okay. Proof, results, fruit. If we're drawing a picture, fruit, confirmation of the gospel. We need to be set to see results, to see fruit. We will see fruit. We will see fruit. It's not, we won't see fruit the way we want it every time. But there will be fruit. There will be fruit. This church is here because someone was faithful. And this is the fruit of it. Someone preached the gospel. And I got saved, so I'm standing here. I'm the fruit of somebody preaching the gospel. For somebody being set for the confirmation of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? We ought not to be ashamed of it. Power of God unto salvation. It still is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, this was written thousands of years ago. But it's still the power of God today. God hasn't changed. What has? Us. God hasn't changed the way He does things. God hasn't changed His Word. God hasn't changed the way that His Spirit speaks. We've changed. We've changed the way we carry the gospel. We've changed how frequently we carry the gospel. We ought to carry it highly. As the greatest news that we've ever heard. Because it is the greatest news that will ever be heard. I mean, if a bomb was to drop in the middle of the United States tomorrow, that would be the conversation tomorrow. It would. And we would talk about it, every one of us. Guaranteed. If it started raining $100 bills tomorrow, that would be talked about. How much more should we talk about the gospel of Christ? Eternity is hinged on it. Eternity. Wow. It is the power of God on salvation, and it will change lives. The confirmation, proof, results, it will change lives. If you're in here and you're saved, it's changed your life. It don't matter, as Brother Moore said, as his daddy was saved out of sin, his life has changed. Your life has changed just as well. It took just as much grace for him to be saved, and his life changed. He calls us to walk in newness of life. We know what that word newness means. New, different, not of the old. Changed, transformed in our mind unto Christ. I could have Brother Tim stand up, and he could tell his testimony. I could probably tell his testimony. Most of us could. Brother Lonnie told his testimony. I could call anybody in here, and you would stand up and tell your testimony. I could tell of the story when thousands were fed, how he lifted the sick and he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others like the blind made to see. Oh, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me. I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you now for loving us this evening. We thank you for the great message from the Word of God. We thank you for Brother Trevor. What a blessing he is. What an encouragement to see his faithfulness and his zeal for you. May we all determine in the days ahead that we'll have more of both of those things in our own lives. Bless your people, have your way in hearts and lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.